You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today, I'm going to talk about what's happening in Holland today. It's a national day of mourning. They're observing, and the reason why is this. 192 of the 292 passengers and crew of Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 that was apparently shot down by a SA surface-to-air 11 missile that the Russian rebels that are in Ukraine, there's a civil war going on. It appears by all the evidence that we've heard so far that it was this missile that brought it down, and as a result, 192 people aboard that flight were from the Netherlands. To put it in a little perspective, Holland or the Netherlands is a relatively small country. They have a population slightly under 17 million people. I believe it's around 16.9 million today. And that compares with the population of the United States, which is approximately 320 million today. So it's a little more than 5% of the United States population, about 1/20th the size of the United States, but they lost 192 of their citizens. So they all over Holland today, there are mourning, the flags are at half mast, and there's some footage that I urge you, or videos, and hopefully all the major television networks should cover it tonight. I'm not certain of that, but at least CNN, and I've been critical of CNN in the past, but they did a good job with their coverage and showing the caskets being removed from the plane, brought into the hearse, and then a long, long line of hearse going from the airport to destinations in the Netherlands. And you see the people of the Netherlands along the highway, over the overpasses, and all the flags flying at half mast. This is a tragedy comparable to what happened in the United States on September 11th, 2001. Because we lost the United States, but it wasn't just United States citizens. There were literally more than two dozen nations had citizens killed on 9/11 in the World Trade Center. But there were 3,000 people killed, mostly U.S. citizens, and first responders, namely police, firemen. And that was a national tragedy that was on the news for many weeks because more and more bodies were being identified. Many of them were never found, and it really hit New York City and the surrounding areas hard, as well as the nation, because this was really worse than Pearl Harbor, which was the other national event comparable to it that happened on December 7th, 1941, on a Sunday. But most of the casualties then were actually military personnel, primarily Navy personnel, because the Japanese had bombed and attacked from carriers and sank battleships, destroyers. It caught the fleet at Pearl Harbor. Fortunately for the United States, as aircraft carriers were out to sea and were not there, because that was the main purpose of the attack, was to sink as many U.S. Navy ships, but primarily are aircraft carriers that enable the United States to project power beyond their base in Pearl Harbor or from the United States. So I wanted to put it in perspective. For Holland, this is a national day of mourning, and they're observing it all across Holland. It's very sad. because many of these 192 people were children as well as babies. They're the one nation. There were about, I believe, 13 nations in terms of the nationalities or citizenships. Citizenship of the passengers and crew affected. You know, one was an American that had dual citizenship with the Netherlands, but most of them were Europeans, primarily from the Netherlands. So I want to at least point this out and urge you, if you have time, to go to the pronkpops.wordpress.com companion blog site to this show to view the videos. I've tried to get some of the photographs as well as some of the videos. I'll have more of them later. I'll probably post this sometime this evening, probably around 8 to 9 o'clock this evening. And at the top of the page, you'll have links to all my, well, for the at the very top of the page, you have links to the last 60 to 80 shows. At the very bottom, you have links to all my shows, with the exception of the first 7 that have been lost. But below that, or in between, you'll have photos of this, what's happening in Holland today. Because the bodies arrived at the airport, the King and Queen of Holland were there, as well as other dignitaries. No speeches were given, and the remains were put aboard hearse to be transported and eventually given to the families that lost their loved ones. So it is a very sad day in the Netherlands, but this is one U.S. citizen that wants to point this out and extend my sincere condolences to the people of Holland as well as the families that have been affected by their loss of loved ones. Children, fathers, mothers, daughters, sons are all being affected, and it was shocking because this was a tragedy that never should have happened. Airliners should not have been flying over that area, but hindsight's always 20/20, and they're not flying over it anymore. You don't fly over war zones. You don't send airliners of any nations over war zones. But equally important, the responsibility is squarely, as far as I'm concerned, Russia provided these weapon systems. The so-called Russian separatists, they're really Russians in the Ukraine that are trying to separate part of the Ukraine and take control of it. Now, I'm not going to get into the history of the Ukraine. It's been fought over for many, many decades. But I blame the Russians and the Russian government for giving these types of weapons to their allies in the Ukraine. I don't think that's going to stop Putin. I really don't think he's that sensitive to world opinion. What he is sensitive to some extent is the pressure being brought by sanctions, mainly on his friends and supporters, the people that run the various industries, including the arms industries, the oil industries, and companies involved in it. I'm not advocating that the United States start a war. It's not going to do it. If any of you are out there thinking the United States or NATO is going to launch attacks against these surface-to-air missile launchers, it's not going to happen for a lot of reasons. And one obvious reason, where is the Ukraine next to? It's right next to, it borders on Russia. And Russia literally has tens of thousands of troops all along the border with Ukraine. And they're just looking for a pretext to launch those Russian troops into the Ukraine. Should they do that, and I'm not anticipating they are, but they are on the border. You need to understand that. We have surveillance satellites that clearly know that, and it is a threat to the Ukraine. The other thing that I've mentioned last time, the main reason the Europeans are not going to do anything is they rely on natural gas from Russia. So there's no real push by either the United States or various European nations to really take any retaliatory military action against the Russian rebels in the Ukraine. I think the attitude is this is a European problem. It's up to the Ukraine to solve it, and they really can't because they're economically, they're very much a basket case. They trusted in the United States, Russia, when they disarmed. Remember, the Ukraine had many, many hundreds of nuclear weapons, and they gave them back to the Russians or they were destroyed, signed a treaty where Russia and the United States guaranteed if they were ever attacked, they would come to their defense. Well, now we have a problem. If anyone is going to attack the Ukraine, it's Russia, and really the only superpower that has the capability to resist that attack is the United States and some of its allies in Europe, but they're not, they don't want any part of this. They do not want any part of that. And while I have and will continue to be critical of President Obama, he's partially right. This is a European problem, and the Europeans need to solve it, and they're not willing to take military action to solve it. Now, they're certainly reassessing where they're getting their energy from, because when it gets cold in Western Europe, you need fuel to power your electrical plants, and that comes from, largely, not completely, from Russia. And it will continue to do until they reduce their reliance on Russian natural gas. And if the United States had expedited the development of the natural gas resources in terms of having pipelines as well as natural gas liquefaction facilities that usually are on the water, because once the natural gas is liquefied, it's usually put in ships, special design ships with domes, you'll see these, that store the natural gas under high pressure, and it's shipped to nations abroad. That needs to happen, but we're at least 5 years away, probably 10 years away, assuming that there are not attempts to delay that from happening. It wouldn't be surprise me with this president. He's trying to do it. But the United States would be one of several other alternative sources for the natural gas that Western Europe potentially could lose if Russia ever shuts that supply off. Now, it's not in the interest of the Russian government to do that, because a large percentage of its foreign exchange that it earns in trade comes from its trade in energy, namely natural gas and oil. So the Russians are very dependent on selling these resources to Europe, to Poland, Hungary, Germany, Italy, and other countries. Not so much France, but France buys some of it. So today I want to point out what's happening in the Netherlands and urge you to spend a few minutes either watching the news tonight or go to my site, promptpops.wordpress.com, and watch some of the I have some videos. I have a lot of photographs, some videos, and I put in some statistics in terms of the population of Holland, because it is a relatively small country, very successful country, once had an empire. And remember, at one time, New York City was not named New York City. It was named New Amsterdam, because the Dutch originally settled in the Manhattan area. That was changed when the British brought its fleet and tried to keep the Dutch there, and more or less did. Many of my ancestors are from Holland, because Pronk is very much a Dutch name. And that's one of the reasons I'd wanted to emphasize this today, because this is comparable to the attack on 9/11 in terms of what happened in the Netherlands. That's a lot of people for a small country to lose so suddenly, so unexpectedly, and due to terror. And it's a mistake. As far as I'm concerned, everything I see, it was really a mistake on everyone's part. There were a lot of mistakes made, but the people that paid the price were the people that were aboard that jet. I don't think any of them thought that they would have been shot down over the Ukraine. They thought they were taking a flight from the Netherlands to Malaysia. So my heart goes out to them, and I want to pay my respects. Now, the second story I want to cover is also about terrorism. Terrorism in the Middle East, and the terrorist group Hamas, who has in the past and is doing it, I don't know if they're doing it today, but will in the future keep launching rockets to provoke the Israelis to attack them. They have launched hundreds, thousands of rockets. Now, there's something I learned, and I haven't been able to really check this out. And I was listening to the John Batchelor show last night, and I believe he is in Israel today. Matter of fact, I know he's in Israel because he was broadcasting his show from an Israeli radio station, and he was interviewing some of the military experts on what's happening in Israel as regards to the military, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces operations in the Gaza Strip. And this surprised me because I had it. This is the first time I've heard this, but it's important in a number of ways. I would have thought that these rockets that they're launching into Israel had charges. Namely, they had a warhead. It's small. These are small rockets, but they have different ranges, and the ranges have gotten, they've increased the ranges over time, so now they're significant. They can more or less, except for some parts of Israel that are far north, remember Gaza's in the south in relation to Israel. It's right next to Israel. There's a border there. But they're launching him into the cities as well as near the airports, Ben Gurion Airport in Israel. But what don't these rockets have? Apparently, they have not been putting warheads, namely explosives, and it's usually in the front of the missile. Most of the missile is, besides metal, is fuel that it uses to get the distance. So a lot of what's in these rockets is fuel. And when if they're not shot down by the various defense, Iron Dome is the Israelis' defense system against these rockets that have been very, very successful in bringing them down. But apparently what Hamas, which is a terrorist organization that controls Gaza, has not been putting explosives in the, or a warhead, if you will, in the front of this missile. So what they're doing is they're firing many, many hundreds, if not thousands by now, rockets into Israel. Now, to the extent that they get through, they're not shot down by Iron Dome. They can do damage. It's just like shooting a bullet up in the air. Eventually, it comes down. And if you happen to be where it comes down, you know, it could kill you. I'm not trying to minimize that. But that's entirely different than if someone fired an artillery shell that, when it hits, blows up. So apparently, these rockets, and I don't know how many, but the impression is most, if not all, it's been investigated, and they're not carrying high explosives or explosives in the rocket. So why would they be shooting it? Because, you know, that's resources. Supposedly, Iran has supplied upwards of 14,000 rockets for the Hamas to fire into Israel. You would think they had explosives in them. Most rockets do. That's why it was rather an interesting, and I never heard this, and I need to do more checking. But why do it? Because you're wasting a rocket. As far as from the Hamas perspective, it's a waste of a rocket. Not that the rocket can't do some damage, but if you're going to launch the rocket, why not put the explosives in it? I don't think it's a case that they don't have them. I think they have intentionally pulled out the explosives or have not armed them. Now, why? They're really trying to provoke the Israelis to attack Gaza, because Hamas wants Palestinians, or Arabs, really Arabs. I don't want to get into where the name Palestine came from. They're Arabs, folks. They want the Arabs or the natives of that surrounding area to be killed, because that gets international attention, mainly from the press. And you can see it in the news reports, including CNN's, and the death tolls of civilians being killed. Now, what's the whole story here? Is the Israeli government and the Israeli Defense Forces and the Israeli people are being attacked by Hamas, by these rockets. Not many Israelis have been killed yet, but it has done damage. In other words, Hamas attack first. They're provoking this international incident and to try to make, and some of the major media are doing this, it's Israelis' fault that hundreds, and the death toll in the Gaza Strip, my understanding, I have no way to verify that, it's over 600, and the Israelis have lost, the last report, around 30 either soldiers or civilians as a result of Hamas's attack, but the Israelis are attacking Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And the reason why they're doing it is, one, the rockets attack, but more importantly, the Israelis have discovered, and they were aware of this, but not to the extent, that Hamas has literally more than a dozen tunnels from Gaza into Israel that they can use to launch guerrilla terrorist attacks, including suicide bombers. And why Israel has gone in, and I think reluctantly gone in, is first and foremost to destroy these tunnels, and they've been successful at it, but also to try to destroy the sites where these rockets are being launched from. And what Hamas does is deliberately put its military or terrorist, and that's what they are, sites where they launch the rockets amongst the civilian population, knowing that Israel will spot where these rockets are coming from and at some point target them. Ladies and gentlemen, Hamas is a terrorist organization. It is a racist organization. They are the heirs of national socialism, of the National Socialism Workers' Party of Germany, namely the Nazis. And Hitler was a racist that wanted to exterminate the Jews, as is Hamas. And that's the history, and that's what it's about. There is no area of agreement because Hamas literally wants to kill all the Jews in Israel. There's nothing to negotiate here, folks. And John Kerry, our Secretary of State, can provide aid to the civilians that are dying. But the problem is, and continues to be, Hamas is active in Gaza. And until Hamas is destroyed, there will never be peace in Gaza. Period. They don't want to negotiate. This is a big propaganda campaign, and the United States press is falling for it. And they're trying to shift the blame to the Israelis. The Israelis did not start these rocket attacks. The Israelis did not dig these tunnels. The Israelis did not send terrorists from Gaza into Israel. They are defending themselves and are entitled to defend themselves, and it's about time the United States government support Israel and not support Hamas by providing aid to the civilians in the Gaza Strip. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.